This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, yeah! We have reached the final week of the college basketball regular season for everybody. Some people have gotten a head start. Some lower level leagues have already started their conference tournaments. But the big boys, this is their last regular season week of the season, which means it's the last regular season week of our show here, BetQL, which you can find on Odyssey Sports, on the BetQL Network, on YouTube. Pleasure to be with you. I'm John Martin. He is RJ Choppy. Look, we are coming down to the nitty-gritty, RJ. And
yeah,
I don't know how much drama there is necessarily. Maybe can Tennessee, for example, who we'll get to in just a minute, can they find a way to get that last one seed? Can they find their way onto the one line after winning the SEC outright for the first time since 2008? Yeah, they won a share of it in 2018. We don't count that. If you're a co-champ, that don't count. You got to win the whole thing. And it's been 16 years since that happened. So we'll get to that amongst many other things here on the show as we wrap up the regular season in college basketball. RJ, let's start though. In the regular season here, 9 ranked teams have gone down in the past week in college basketball. Illinois lost to another ranked team in Purdue. Purdue wins outright, RJ, as a 2.5-point underdog. And, you know, as a Big Ten champ, you know, you start to wonder, is this going to be the year where they finally validate that regular season with a run? Do you see that with Purdue, who obviously, as you can see here, is a 7-1 to win the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, I do see that this is a look, obviously they're very talented. This, at the end of the day, though, it does become a guard tournament. I mean, and that's the reality of it. And this is what scares me about a team, say, I think it really kind of hit in the NBA with Denver and then Milwaukee for years. And, you know, those teams broke through. But if your guy, if your dude doesn't have the ball in his hand a lot, I mean, it's a lot of things can go wrong. And it makes it tough to kind of run through that, the tournament or the NBA playoffs. If your most dominant player is not the ball dominant guy, if they don't have the ball, someone's got to get him the ball. I do think they're also, they are one of the teams that absolutely can make a run. They're also, I think, one of the teams that is as likely as any to get picked off because of that. You know, you get a team that gets hot, just like it happened last year, and you could pick them off, I think. So, yeah, I do think this is different for Purdue, but I still think a lot of the same problems that have faced them in the past might rear their ugly heads yet again.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. We've talked about them before. We that's the thing about college basketball this year, man, that does it does exasperate me a little bit. We've talked about the same damn 6 teams for the last 3 months. You know, like there's really not been anybody outside of that top 1% that's threatened to crash the party. It's been about Purdue. It's been about UConn. It's been about Arizona, Houston. You know, maybe we entertain Tennessee a little bit. Maybe we entertain Duke a little bit, but it's mostly sort of been the top 4. Now, with that being said, it's because they keep winning. Purdue just keeps winning, with the exception of that one spot, you know, at Ohio State, which was, you know, the interim coach's first game there at home. And that's an Ohio State team that was due for some positive regression from three based on the shots they were taking. This team has been doing it everywhere, anywhere, anytime. And I think Brayden Smith, you're seeing, you know, he's developed. He's on a different level this season. He's confident. And Zach Edey is the National Player of the Year. They bring in Lance Jones. I mean, I think it's right where they're at in terms of the price at 7-1. I would probably have them third. I would have them third behind UConn and Houston. I think maybe a little closer to Houston than they are. I think I might have that sort of as a dead heat. But, yeah, listen, I think this Purdue team, what they continue to do in the regular season eventually is going to pay itself off in the tournament. Now, they've had some unfortunate luck in the past. At some point, though, RJ, the variance swings your way.
Yeah, it does. I mean, look, you're gonna get bad luck, and then sooner or later, I mean, it's eventually gonna catch up to you on the good side, and you get a little good luck out of it. And you know, listen, I mean, I assume Edie's gonna play his normal game. You know, if Lawyer has a good, you know, Fletcher has a really good game, then what, right? I mean, that's kind of, it's not always the guy who is the superstar that wins you these things. They're the one that gets the credit. They're the ones that are gonna have the ball in their hands. But if other guys on those teams have big nights, if a guy who usually scores 4.5 a night scores 9, all right? I mean, you just keep stacking those things on top of each other, and all of a sudden, that's one way for an underdog to pull an upset, but also it's another way to make sure that a really dominant team with the best player in the tournament or the player of the year, however you want to call them that, doesn't get upset in the first round again.
Absolutely. But look, as I've gotten older, you know, I have learned to emphasize, amplify, invest in the bigger sample sizes. And that's the beauty of the tournament. It's 40 minutes every stop, and anything can happen in those 40 minutes when you're talking about teams that don't have a lot of separation, right? Your top 68 teams in the country, there's really not that much separation. But when it comes to evaluating coaches, you know, and the job, for example, that Matt Painter is doing, you know, they do win the Big Ten. They've won the Big Ten a lot over the years. And that's a tough league. And I used to not be this way. I'll admit it. I used to say, well, you know, none of it matters, but that's what really matters in the end. Yes, you want to win a championship. Yes, you want to pay it all off. But if you keep winning the Big Ten, and you're good enough to do that year in and year out, which they seem to be, eventually the breakthrough comes. It's all about the at-bats, man. That's what they have. That's what this Purdue team has.
I hope you're right on that one. For my school's sake, that's dang sure. I hope you're right, because there's been a lot of at-bats.
Same thing. It's the same, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the right. There are a handful of teams. Arizona was like this for years. Right, with Ludolf, Arizona was like this. Kansas was like this for a really long time under Roy. We've seen teams, UConn, Syracuse with Boeheim. They were cut. You know, they had made Final Fours. They never broke through to the championship, or they never broke through. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. Sooner or later, you'll get a favorable draw. You'll get a couple of upsets, and it could be a situation like for Boeheim. What were they, a 6 seed? When he won his first one, something like that, a 6 seed with Carmelo. I mean, they weren't supposed to win that year, but they got the. I mean, look what had to happen that year. They were a lower seed. Their regional final was in Albany, which is like 2 hours away, 3 hours away, and then they had the best player of the tournament, in Carmelo. Yep. So, like, it takes something. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. Sooner or later, those things break through. And there are a couple schools out there hoping that this year is their year to break through. And it's not UConn for the sixth time in 26 years.
Yes, yes. UConn is the favorite, 5-1. Again, Houston right there. Is it, what is it, 550 plus 550? And then you have Purdue at 7-1. And again, I think that's the right order, although I would probably have like, I think there's a, like, I would love to see that matchup between Juwan Roberts and the bigs there at Houston against Edie. You know, I think that would be a fast day, because that's toughness versus, you know, size and skill, you know. And so I would be very intrigued to see how those guys kind of matchup, but I think that's the right order. And then you start to get into RJ, that next tier, which does include the Tennessee Volunteers. And what a week for them. Two massive road wins, two statements, no question about it. Going on the road as a 3.5 point, 4 point underdog at Alabama. That Alabama team been foaming at the mouth to get a rematch against you after, you know, what Tennessee did to them in Knoxville. And Tennessee went in there and they jumped on them and they gave up the lead. And then they jumped on them again after being down 9 in the second half. And this is, of course, despite Dalton Kincaid being in foul trouble and not really even being able to assert himself. That was about Zakai Ziegler and just a team that is not afraid to go on the road and is not afraid of those environments. So, RJ, I got to tell you, we know who the first three seeds, the first three one seeds are going to. Purdue, UConn, Houston, pick the order. We'll figure that out. I think the fourth one, though, is very much up in the air, depending on what Arizona does, depending on how that all looks in the Pac-12 tournament. And if there's a team that can jump up there and get it, it's definitely your Volunteers.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's two schools of thought here. And I don't really know which one is which, or the right one. But one is that, like, you know, Tennessee plays in not even arguably. I mean, they play in a better conference than Arizona does. I mean, the Pac-12's going to have at max, what, three teams in this year, and the SEC's probably going to have seven, could have eight, depending on what happens, but most likely seven. I mean, if all things are equal and one team has got a set, you know, is a seven-bid league and the other one's in a two- or three-bid league, the seven-bid league should get it. But then the flip side is that, you know, the committee does like to, you know, put a Western team in the West as the one seed in the West if they can, and I get that. And I'll tell you this, like, I don't think you'd be doing the one, you're want to protect the one seed. You ain't going to be doing a one seed any favors if the one seed out West has Arizona as the two seed playing a couple hours from home. Like, that's not going to be protecting the one seed at all. But, I mean, I think Tennessee absolutely has a chance at the one. I mean, I think right now they are. Most people have them as the one if this thing were to be done today. And obviously there's more games to play. And every year it seems like they change their criteria on whether or not the conference tournaments matter or not. And it seems like every year it is. But I think the Tennessee late stretch having four straight games against ranked teams and beating all of them, and having, you know, really good performances by multiple people in all three of those games to date, with Kentucky still to come. I mean, it's going to be hard with that late push, especially when Arizona hasn't played a really tough game since December. They just haven't, you know. So I think it's going to be a really tough situation for the committee to keep Tennessee out of the one seed.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think when you're talking about, you know, exercising demons and reversing perceptions and things like that. I mean, this Tennessee team has so many different pieces and so many different ways to beat you. It's not just Dalton Kincaid, although, again, he is the difference in the ceiling. But they won last week against Alabama over the weekend because of Zakai Ziegler and his timely shot making. Like, they have, you know, they have two or three bigs off the bench, you know, with Awaka there and, you know, Adu and Josiah Jordan-James in the corner. Like, they're just a veteran team. Vescovy, they have so many different ways to come at you, and they're never going to panic. So what I look for in a champ and like, who I would feel comfortable backing, how many teams are who they are because they have a great home record? How, like, honestly, I think it, like, all the entire Mountain West. Like, the Mountain West for me, put them in a shoebox, sell them like a bunch of old sports cards. Don't want them. Don't care about them. Don't take them seriously. But teams that can go on the road like Purdue, like Houston, like Tennessee, and win consistently against good teams, whether it's Alabama, whether it's South Carolina, you name it, those are the teams that have a shot in March. Those are the ones. Anybody else that's propped up by a home record, it's great. You're gonna get a nice seed. You're gonna get a nice regular season record, but are you credible? Tennessee is credible, you know, and I right now we're seeing +210 to make the Final Four. you know, if you're talking about a one seed here and they have shorter odds in Arizona, it sort of certainly starts to feel like the market over at BetMGM is preparing for that. I feel like that's a good bet, RJ.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's and you know, Rick Barnes has always had this perception that he winds his players up too tight. I think this year is different because they're so old. They're an old team. Like, he's just got coaches on the floor. I don't think he's coaching nearly as much or as nearly as hands-on as he normally is. But you're absolutely right on the road thing, the road aspect of it. Now, UConn has shown to be the exception to that rule. I mean, didn't they just have, when they beat Marquette, their first road win against a ranked team since, like,
yes,
Kemba Walker? Or Shabazz, yes, Napier was there. It's like that is to me the wildest stat about this entire thing, is that UConn had their first road win over a top 25 team in a decade, and they have a natty in the middle of that. That to me is the most remarkable aspect of what UConn did. So they are the outlier, but they're also supremely talented, and maybe they just don't, yes, play a lot of road games against ranked opponents in conference. That's the other factor. The other side of that, and you know, Nova dominated the conference for a while, and UConn was out of the conference for a little bit, so it was a different animal.
Yeah. So look, it's a good time, no doubt about it, to be a Tennessee fan. I think they're the one team in Arizona. I'd really say there's five, with Iowa State and Duke on the outside, kind of looking in, but Tennessee is one of them. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here as we wrap up the college basketball regular season. You're watching BetQLU. Stick around. Welcome back to BetQLU here. I'm John Martin. He's RJ Choppy. And as we round out the regular season, I'm going to bring in our man and producer, Zach Kroll here. Felt like a good time to, you know, what's up, Zach? Roll through the, you know, various teams that we think may or may not have a chance. If we're interested in getting behind them, you know, investing, backing them, or if we're just going to turn that opportunity down, maybe pick it up later. So, Zach, without further ado, man, get us started. Let's roll.
Yeah, guys, I wanted to play a game of my team or not my team. I know that we don't have the actual bracket that we're going to be filling out on Selection Sunday, a little bit less than 2 weeks away now. But I feel like with the regular season only having 1 week left, we've seen plenty of games to have some pretty firm opinions on these teams. And just at the end of the first segment there, you guys spoke a little bit about Tennessee and the SEC, and they won the league. They're the clear-cut best team in that league. But I wanted to get your guys' opinions to start off on some of the other teams in that league. And there seems to be a second tier that has separated themselves away from Tennessee on the bottom, but all these teams are going to be in the NCAA tournament. We have Kentucky. We have Florida, who had a really impressive win over Alabama. We have South Carolina. We have Alabama, who's been struggling a bit. Out of these teams, Auburn is the other one I forgot to mention. Out of these teams, is there anyone in particular that you guys are in a rush to back and say, okay, this is my team, when we get into the NCAA tournament, or the other way around and say, no, like, I'm not a believer in this one?
RJ, take us.
All right. I think Kentucky is the team in the SEC that I would buy come tournament time the most. I like Auburn. I like Auburn a lot. I think Bruce Pearl gets his teams ready for big games. But, man, I think Kentucky's got – you've got to have dudes, and they got two really, really good young players, arguably two of the better freshmen there is. I think they're the team that is that, you know, outside of Tennessee in the SEC that I could see making a run. I don't buy Bama. Bama could shoot and score with anybody, but dude, the next team they stopped me the first. I mean, they couldn't stop me. I think I can go out there and at least put up five. I can get 5 points. I get five good points. I'll nail a three, and I'll find a way to get fouled and make two of the three free throws. That's it, you know. But I can't buy them. I think it's Kentucky. I think they're the team that I would buy if I'm looking at an SEC team not named Tennessee.
Okay. I mean, are we just doing SEC right now? We're just going to stay there?
Just to start.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not really a league that I think much of past Tennessee. Like I know who I'm not backing. I'm not backing Alabama. I'm not touching them. Florida's pretty limited. I mean, you can get a good performance from them at home. I guess I would say Auburn. You know, if we're not going to go the obvious with Tennessee, Auburn has, you know, some experienced guards. They have some shooting, you know, the big play of Jani Broome and Jalen Williams. So, you know, Bruce Pearl's been in the Final Four before. So I guess I would say Auburn, and I would say, like RJ, I agree. Alabama just way too reliant on that three. They shoot the most threes. I think it's 16 in the country. And we saw what happens when they go in, it looks really easy. And then when they don't, they don't really know what to do. They kind of spontaneously combust like they did at home against Tennessee. So yeah, it's going to be Alabama for me as well. If I'm allowed to take the same one, but it's the truth. I mean, that's the team that I just would not have any interest in getting behind in the tournament.
Okay, the next team I wanted to run by you guys is a team that I think right now, as crazy as this might sound, they're a little bit under the radar. And John, it's funny, I remember one of the first times we did basketball on this show was very early on in the season, and they lost a home game in pretty surprising fashion. Now, it turns out the team they lost to, they're pretty good too, but I'm talking about Duke. They had an impressive win over NC State over on Monday, covered the 6.5 there. Is Duke a team that's flying a little bit under the radar? I think they're playing really good basketball. Right now on BetMGM, they're plus 450 to make the Final Four. Would we back Duke in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, actually. I didn't know if it was RJ or me. But, yeah, Duke is definitely a team that I actually had them minus 6 against NC State earlier this week. And I think, again, they're one of the teams I could see outside of that top four. What does worry me with them, because when I bet, I look for reasons not to as opposed to reasons to. You know, that's just the way I approach it. And with Duke, it's like if Filipowski gets in foul trouble, they're in big trouble. They're in big trouble. And also his foul shooting, like in a big game, you know, feels like they could really, like a team could take advantage of that and make him kind of a liability, right? I could see that. Hack a Kyle Filipowski. We got to think of a good name for that. But he's in the 60s. He's not a very good free throw shooter. So that's the only drawback. But they have guards that you could see taking off in March. Jared McCain had 14 in the second half against NC State. And I love that kid. I've really become a fan of him. And I watched that game and his postgame interview. I'm like, yo, I'm supposed to hate the Duke guard. I'm supposed to hate the star at Duke. I love this kid. Like, he is unapologetically himself, and he's got great character, and he's freaking good at basketball. So I can't hate him. I don't know. I think I'm gonna have to just hate Filipowski. So yes, Duke is definitely a team I could see making a run, no doubt.
You know, I don't know that I could see them winning the whole thing. I could see them making an Elite Eight run. I don't know. They're just not on the level, I don't think, of the teams near the top. And I don't even think, like, on their best night, if those other teams have an off night, yes. But if those other teams play their game, they may not play their A game, but they play their B game. I don't even know if Duke's A game can beat some of those ones at the top. So they're not necessarily, I would say no, they're not my team. Again, I think they can make an Elite Eight run. I do think there's a ceiling for them. They haven't really beat anybody that great this year. They've lost some bad. Like Arkansas lost still. That was a bad loss. I know that they weren't whole, but there's some ugly losses they had early on in the season that just stick with me.
And they will have a big game on Saturday that we will get to a little bit later against North Carolina. They will try to get some payback on them. The next team I wanted to throw at you guys is a team that also has been playing some really good ball lately, and that's Baylor in the Big 12. Now, this is a team throughout the season. They've struggled a little bit on the defensive end, but I'm starting to think the more I watch them, it might not even matter. Their last few games, they've gone into TCU and won. They had a nice home win over Kansas last Saturday. And then I watched them on Monday against Texas. They fell down early in that game by double figures, and in a snap of the finger, they were able to come back. They have also a national championship winning head coach in Scott Drew. Baylor is a team that's super intriguing to me. RJ, I know they're close to you in Big 12 country. What do you think of the Bears?
I like Baylor. I'll tell you, though, like it's all their defense, because they do play a lot of zone, is so reliant on the other team's shooting. If that other team is on, like Baylor doesn't, like their entire plan is toast. And it's not like they can get big defensive stops all the time. The best that they can do is just basically get every rebound, every missed shot. And that's what they have to do. And they've got to be able to make their shots. I do like Baylor, though. I mean, I think they're a really good team. I think they're an underrated team. I think they're a team that could win away from home. They've shown they can play tough, close games. And they're playing in the nastiest conference that there is. So, yeah, I am a fan of Baylor. You know, their KenPom numbers show that they can't win the championship. But that doesn't mean that they can't make a scary run for somebody.
John?
Yeah, I'm loving this Baylor team. I'm falling in love with them. I just think they have, you know, you look for ingredients and they have them. You know, Jacoby Walters, that dynamic freshman. They are really solid at and, you know, traveling and it going outside of Waco. But, you know, Missy has really come a long way inside. And Scott Drew's he's proven, brother, he's done it. You know, he's been there, he's done it. He's won championships. So, I mean, I think if you're looking at what we have on them, Zach, to win it all, to make a Final Four. But, I mean, that's what I'd like to know. That's because I think, like, a, you know, you kind of want to have a little, you want to have a little fun, right? You want to have some long shots. They would be chief among them for me, to get to a Final Four, I would say. You know, win it all is tough, but yeah, I would definitely say they're a my team.
So Baylor right now, when you look at them, they're 35-1 on BetMGM to win the national title. Wow. Good value there, right?
I mean, I think it is certainly a big number. Look, I mean,
get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live. Only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So again, it's just, can it travel? Can they travel? Look, they were a free throw away from beating Houston. They really were. So I think there are worse long shots out there for sure.
Okay, John, you mentioned them. I wanted to talk a little bit about Houston because I'm not going to lie to you guys. About even a week ago, I was watching Houston and I said to myself, like, man, this really could be their year. One thing that stood out to me about them is their guards this year have been much better compared to years past. We know what Jamal Shedd could do. LJ Cryer, Baylor transfer, he's been shooting the ball great lately. I also love Emmanuel Sharp, but injuries have just been killing this team. Their freshman, JoJo Tugler, who is probably their best rebounder, he's out for the season, having surgery. Juwan Roberts, who's probably their best forward, best rebounder right now, he's banged up a little bit. And I just wonder, going forward, like in the Big 12 tournament, would it just be better for them to maybe take, I don't want to say lose on purpose, but I don't think a loss would be the worst thing in the world for them to just get healthy and rest up before the big dance. This is a team that has made a Final Four under Kelvin Sampson, but I just feel like the clock is ticking a little bit. This might be their best chance to win a national championship. They have clinched the Big 12 title. What do we think of Houston? Do those injuries change our opinion on them?
Yeah, I think it's interesting you bring that up because that the only year they've been to a Final Four is it was nothing but double-digit seeds, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
You know, I do kind of think, and I've had this thought about Houston, is this Thibodeau-esque, where by the time they get to, you know, the end of the season, they're just run down. That style, it's demanding, it's very demanding, it's very physical. And so I think that is sometimes why you see them kind of sputter out, because they've been playing that at that gear for, and that's the credit, like that's why they're so awesome, that they're at that level all the time from the beginning of the season to the end. But I do think when you ask why isn't the deep tournament success there, like why are they losing the Sweet 16, you know, to Miami, I think it's because by the time they get there, man, their legs are just shot. I really do. So, yes, I think you bring up a very interesting point. If they get a little bit of rest, a little bit of a rest advantage, that may be exactly what they need to finally cut down the nets.
Yeah, and, you know, look, a lot. I don't like rest a lot of times this time of year. It's like I don't think these teams at this point want a week off, you know, and you're going to see that with a lot of teams. I mean, if you play Saturday of this week, right, and then you don't play again until your quarterfinals on Friday because you get a bye, that's a full week. Do you really want that? What if you lose that game? That means you're going to play one – by the time the tournament rolls around, you're going to play one game in 13 days. I don't think any coach, any player, any team wants that. I also don't know they all want to play till Sunday in the conference tournament. So, yeah, if I'm Houston, you're in a good spot. I think John's right. You do want a little bit of a rest because you do get worn down. But I think you at least want to make it to Saturday. I think you or you know, the semis. I think you at least want to make it to the semis of the Big 12 or the SEC, depending on what conference that you may be in, any of these teams. You at least want to get more than one game in your conference tournament. You want to play two. Otherwise, man, you're looking at maybe playing one game in 13 days. That's not good for anybody. That is just screaming for somebody to upset you.
Yeah, a lot of good points all around right there. Before we move on, guys, we have about 90 seconds left here. Are there any teams that I didn't mention that you are convinced right now, no matter what draw they get in the bracket, I definitely want to ride with this team, or nah, I definitely want to fade this team?
I don't know. I think Creighton, it's a team that I would probably be interested in right now because Ashworth's finally settled in. And, you know, I thought he was a disaster start the season, but he's only gotten better as they got into Big East play. And, I mean, they're playing well. They have Kalkbrenner, who's a mismatch nightmare, as we've talked about. So I think Creighton, you know, I believe they're 7-1. I think that's good value. They've certainly been better than that this season already, and they've beaten the best. They beat UConn. So I think 7-1. That could be a fun one.
Yeah, I think that is a good one. I mean, I'm trying to think here. I think you can get something out of Illinois. You know, they're gonna be a 4 seed, 5 seed, somewhere in there. They make a run. They got good players, a lot of talent. They played a tough schedule. They played Purdue very tough. Had a lead at halftime. I could see Illinois scaring a team or two. You know. I am not a believer in Marquette. That'd be one I would fade. But, yeah, I think Illinois is one of those teams.
Yeah, so good stuff there. Appreciate Zach coming in and helping us out there and going through those teams. Look, the more we talk it out, the more I kind of am interested in some of these number one seeds. So we'll see if I can ultimately get there. But, yeah, definitely should be a very fun tournament. And we're right there on the precipice. We'll come back, preview the weekend as always, and more. You're watching BetQLU on the BetQL Network. Back after this. All righty then. the final regular season weekend of the college basketball season. And here's the rub. We have a few good ones, few still to be determined. I'm going to add some to this list that I have in front of me as well. But listen, there's a lot of sort of, you know, I guess you would say second rate mid-major tournaments going on right now, RJ. Obviously, you know, that's not necessarily on our radar here, but in terms of the conference tournaments, is there a league that you feel like maybe might produce a surprising result of the Power Six?
Oh, the Power. Yeah, you know what? I don't think the Big East will. I think that's pretty sad. I mean, I could see the ACC. I could see some team, you know, like sprouting out of nowhere and pulling off an upset, although that seems to be a two-team race. I can absolutely see, you know, if Tennessee beats Kentucky, you know, maybe not having the same motivation to win the conference tournament as normal, because I think that, you know, the committee seems to favor, you know, the regular season over the weekend. So I could see a team like South Carolina walking away with that. I could absolutely see South Carolina winning the SEC. I don't know how much of a surprise that would be. I mean, they're going to finish second in the regular season, right? But I think most people would consider that to be a surprise. I mean, Big 12, it's a great league. I mean, give me six teams. I could see six teams winning that thing. But yeah, I don't think it's a weekend where we're going to see a ton of surprise.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know at this point, right? Without having every single draw, every single seeding, because, you know, again, some of that's still up. You know, it's still going to be determined, right? It's still going to be, you know, things could change. So a little hard to do that at this time, but. Certainly we'll monitor that for sure. All right, let's get to some of the big games over the weekend here, RJ. Start with Creighton at Villanova. KenPom projections, as we always use, Creighton -1. Villanova's coming off that disappointing loss on the road at Seton Hall. They still seem firmly in, but, you know, Creighton has a chance here to improve their seeding. What do you think of this one?
Man, I think Creighton wins this game. I don't know that I like that number very well. I think Creighton wins this game. You know, Nova is, you know, their numbers actually surprised me. I thought they would be much lower in KenPom than 29. I didn't think they would be in the top 30. I thought they'd be closer to the, you know, high 30s, low 40s, but there they are. But I just think Creighton's a really good team. I think Creighton's a team that has an outside chance of making a Final Four run. I don't think Villanova has I'd be surprised if they made it to the, you know, beyond the first weekend. Now watch, they'll make it beyond the first weekend. but yeah, I think this is Creighton's game.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. Not convinced on Villanova at all. I mean, I you know, I do kind of wonder, a part of me wonders if they get to the tournament and, you know, with the experience of Dixon and Moore, like, you know, maybe they can turn it on, hit a switch, but man, they've just been so mediocre. They've been so mediocre this regular season. So it's hard for me to trust them with any degree of, you know, investment whatsoever. All right, Houston, #1 ranked Houston, looking to get that lick back on the Kansas Jayhawks. KenPom projections -10 in Houston, RJ.
Well, I do like, I mean, that's a big number. That's a big number. I will take Kansas and the 10 points in this one. Would you be surprised if that number's at 10? It's probably more of what, 6.5, 7 range?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, Kansas, the reason why I wouldn't, RJ, is because Kansas has just faded. They have just faded, yeah, down the stretch here with injury. I mean, you're right. It probably won't be 10, but 7.5, 8 is where I think it probably ends up.
Yeah, and then, you know, like, there's always injuries with Kansas. I mean, like, they've got was McCullough has an injury. Happened again with the knee. It just continues to linger. So, look, they have faded a little bit, but I think Kansas cover. If it's at 10, I would take Kansas to cover. That's a little bit of a delta that I would like.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is a Houston bet for me or nothing. I think this Kansas team is just so limited. They're so shallow, and Houston, when they are in these spots, like I've seen Memphis be on the wrong side when they were owed. I think Houston won the AAC tournament 2 years ago by about 5 million points. So yeah, Kelvin Sampson forgives, but he does not forget. And I think that's what the Kansas Jayhawks are going to run into this weekend. All right, here's a good one. Number 15 ranked Kentucky at number 4 ranked Tennessee. RJ, Tennessee -9 according to KenPom projections.
I don't like that number. I don't like that number. It's a rivalry game. I know Tennessee's clearly the better team. I'll tell you that I love the over. If the over's sitting there at 165, holy cow. I mean, these two teams put up nearly 200 points combined in the first time they played. And Tennessee's a better team at home offensively than on the road. I could easily see Tennessee getting in the mid-80s, high 80s, low 90s in this one. If it doesn't get out of hand, if it gets out of hand, they start pulling guys, then maybe not. But I think the over's the play here. I Kentucky's not very good defensively. They're very good offensively. Tennessee's got a good defense, and it'll be senior night. The second senior night for some of these guys because they had a couple of guys came back. But I think the over's the play.
Yeah. When Kentucky's defense is involved, there will be points scored. So it's just that simple, man. It's just that damn simple. North Carolina at Duke. This is a rematch, obviously, of the rivalry on Tobacco Road. North Carolina took the first one. Duke's now -4 at home. Can you get behind Duke as a favorite here and getting revenge?
You know, I can get behind Duke here. I can get behind him. I think Duke wins this game. I don't know if they cover, but I think they win this game. If I was going to take a bet, I would take Duke -4. I think they can absolutely get the revenge in this game. And, you know, Carolina doesn't really have a shot, I don't think, anymore at a one seed. I think those days are gone. But, they obviously are firmly entrenched on the 2 line. And I don't know that Duke can get to the 2, but I think that carrot's dangling enough to where if they win this and win the ACC tournament, that they might be able to, you know, convince the committee to give them one. So I'm taking Duke in the 4.
Yeah, I think this was pretty much what it closed at. On the opposite, the inverse, when it was at North Carolina, I think it was 4, 4.5. And I laid it with Carolina, and I think I'm going to lay it with Duke in this one. I really don't think it's that hard. The home splits here are probably going to be pretty true in the rivalry. And I think Duke is just playing good basketball, man. I mean, like the NC State could have been a look ahead, right? Like, you kind of a sleepy environment against a mediocre team that's not going anywhere, and I mean they beat the brakes off the Wolfpack. So I think they're ready for this. They're ready to get their revenge on the Tar Heels, and I think they are successful in doing that. So that's one I think I'll definitely be involved in on Saturday. Duke -4. All right, we have UConn at Providence. UConn -9 at Providence. Providence just sort of playing for seeding in the Big East tournament. 9 feels like a lot with UConn not really having much to play for, RJ, or is this just another domination spot for the Huskies?
I think that because of the way the next 2 weeks play out with the amount of time you're going to have off, I think Hurley's going to play the guys a lot. Because he's going to have, 5 days off before the Big East starts, and then, you know, who knows? I think he's going to play these guys a little bit. So I still think it's a big number. I do. I think it's a big number in a road game. I think UConn probably covers. So if I was going to bet this game, I would probably take UConn in the 9, but I'll stay away from it. I've been burned on Providence at home already once this year, and I won't make that mistake again.
So Zach says they have to win this game. They have to win this game if they want to get in the Big East tournament. Is that so? They have to win to get in, or they're going to need some help, or what's the scenarios? I guess I should have had that ready to go here, but yeah, I mean, if that's the case, I suspect we're going to get a much shorter number Oh, the NCAA tournament. Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. NCAA tournament. Yes. So, yeah, it would be a case, but it would be a case that they could make. But you obviously still have chances there in the Big East tournament to do that as well. But whatever their best is, I think we could certainly see it. Also want to throw another one at you, RJ, because you know I still like to hold it down for the American brother. Okay, we have not forgotten the American, even though it's been a really disappointing year, where the team picked ninth, won the damn regular season. Memphis coming in to FAU, last game of the regular season, Saturday at 11 a.m. on CBS. Memphis won the first one, and both teams really need it. Both teams really need it. FAU kind of needs it to basically avoid the quad two loss. Memphis trying to get back on the bubble and in the discussion. KenPom has this as about 6.5, FAU minus 6.5. Can you get involved with Memphis, or do you think FAU is the play here? What do you make of this matchup?
I think FAU would be the play. They've got some work to do, man. They don't want to be in Dayton. And I don't think we're going to see, did this year just show, like, was last year a fluke for FAU? I mean, they brought just about everybody back. And you know, makes you wonder, like, you know, these runs that these teams go on, they're special. They are special runs, and you can't just duplicate them year to year because this is largely the same team. But I don't think FAU is in a position where they can mess around. I think this is one of those things where you got to look at them.
Yeah. You know, Dusty May talked about it earlier this week when they beat North Texas there. I was actually on FAU minus two because I do think their best can match most teams in the country. It's a question of trying to guess when you're going to get it. And so that's the real challenge. And as far as I'm concerned, if you're going to give me 6.5, 7 with Memphis, I'm going to take it because Memphis is desperate. And I think this is just going to be one of those games that comes down to the final possession. I truly do. So to cap it off, I'll go Memphis plus 6.5, 7 against FAU. Hey, that's going to do it for us in this week's edition of BetQLU, the final regular season week in college basketball. We'll be back talking all things conference tournament next week. Then we'll be obviously on to the NCAA. So that is the next couple of weeks for us here on the show. Thanks for spending a little bit of time with us here this week on BetQLU. For RJ Choppy, I'm John Martin. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll see you next week.